Act two of It's a Wonderful Life, starring Jimmy Stewart as George, Donna Reed as Mary, and Victor Moore as Clarence. Well, we're back in heaven again, where the superintendent of angels is reviewing the case history of a mortal named George Bailey. Clarence, the apprentice angel, is very eager to depart on his mission to the earth.
Poor George Bailey. Oh, he's certainly in desperate trouble, Joseph. I'll go to him at once.
Now, you sit down, Clarence. Sit down. We're nowhere near the point where George Bailey's thinking of taking his life.
We're not?
Now, where were we? Oh, yes. George and Mary had just started out on their honeymoon when they ran smack into the financial panic of 1932. In the waiting room of the building and loan, 100 frantic people were clamoring for their savings.
Hey, what's going on, Uncle Billy? What's happened? All those people out there.
This is a pickle, George. All I know is the bank called our loan an hour ago. I had to hand over all our cash.
Holy mackerel.
Whole town's gone crazy. Bank's in the same spot we are.
Our charter, too.
What about our charter?
Our charter says we have to stay open until 6 p.m. The state can take away our license if we don't.
How can we stay open till 6 without any money? George, where are you going?
Out to talk to those people. Come on. Now, please, folks. Now, just a minute. Just a minute. Now, please.
How about our money, George? Where's our money?
Now, come on. Now, please. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Now, listen to me. Now, you're thinking of this place all wrong. Your money's not here. Oh, wait a minute. Now, let me tell you. Let me tell you, your money's in people's houses. In the Kennedy house and the McLaren house and in your house and 100 others. Now, what are you going to do? Foreclose on them?
I got $240 in shares. Now, let me have it.
All right. All right, Charlie. Now, you'll get your money in 60 days.
60 days?
Well, now, look, that's what you agreed on when you bought your shares.
I got my money.
Old man Potter's taking over the bank. He'll pay you 50 cents on every dollar.
Then let's take our shares to Potter. Half is better than nothing.
Now, wait a minute. Please, folks. I beg of you not to do this. If Potter gets hold of your shares, he'll be owning this building and loan. And he's got the bank, he's got the bus line, he's got the department stores, and now he's after us because he wants to keep you living in his shacks and paying the kind of rent he decides to charge. Now, we can get through this thing, all right, but we've got to stick together. We've got to have faith in each other.
My husband's out of work. We need money.
I've got doctor bills to pay.
I can't feed my kids on savings.
How much do you need? You still got some money?
Hey, Mary.
Here it is, George. You told me to hold on to it. Would have made a nice honeymoon. Bought furniture, too.
Hey, now, wait a minute, folks. Listen. I've got $2,000. All right, Charlie. How much do you need?
$240.
No, Charlie, now listen. Just enough to tide you over.
I said $240.
Okay. Uncle Billy, give Charlie $240. All right, Ed. Now, how much just to get by on?
Oh, $20, I suppose.
Now you're talking. Now, Mrs. Thompson, how about you?
$20 will do me.
Good. $20. Uncle Billy, pay it back when you can now. Pay it back when you can. All right. Who's next?
Look at the clock. Look.
5 seconds, 4 seconds, 3, 2, 1. 6 o'clock. We made it. Lock that door, Eustace. Quick. Boy, we're still in business, Uncle Billy. We even got $2 left. Hmm?
George, there's a call for you.
Okay, and then call my wife, will you? She's probably over at Mother's.
Mrs. Bailey's on the line.
I don't want Miss Bailey. I want my wife. Mrs. Bailey. Miss Bailey. That's my wife. Give me the phone, will you? Hey, Mary, listen, Mary, I'm sorry, Come home, what home? Well, 323 Sycamore. Well, whose home is that? What? Well, Mary, how can I... Well, sure, all right, sure, I'll be there.
Clarence, guess what 323 Sycamore was?
His mother-in-law's house, huh?
Oh, no. Number 323 Sycamore was the old Granville house, the one George threw rocks at and made wishes. Yes, sir, that's where they spent their honeymoon. That's where they started housekeeping. They were still living there 2 years later when old man Potter asked George to stop over at his office.
Sit down, George. Sit down, do. Have a cigar?
Well, thank you, sir.
George, you're a young man, married, making, say, $40 a week at the building and loan.
45.
45. Now, if you were some ordinary yokel, I'd say you were doing fine. But George Bailey is intelligent, ambitious. He hates the building and loan almost as much as I do. He's been dying to get out of town ever since he was born, but he's trapped. Trapped into frittering his life away, playing nursemaid to a lot of garlic eaters. Do I paint a correct picture, George, or do I exaggerate?
Well, what's your point, Mr. Potter?
My point is that you're the only man in town who has licked me. George, I want to hire you. Manage my affairs. I'll start you off at $20,000 a year.
$20,000 a year? Are you sure you're talking to me? I'm George Bailey. Don't you remember me? The building and loan, remember?
Yes, George Bailey, whose ship has just come in, providing he has sense enough to climb aboard.
Well, but what about the building and loan?
Confound it, man. I'm offering you a 3-year contract at $20,000 a year. Is it a deal or isn't it?
No. The answer's no, doggone it. If you offered me $1 million to stay around this town and play stooge to you, the answer'd still be no. Now, let me alone. Don't bother.
George, what did Mr. Potter want?
Oh, it's nothing. He just talked. It's nothing. Oh, gee. Mary Hatch. Mary, why in the world did you ever marry a guy like me, anyway?
To keep from being an old maid.
I was going to see the world. I was going to build things. I was going to give you the moon. What have I given you? Not even a new dress, not for months. Gee whiz, I feel awful.
So do I. Mornings especially.
I could have married Sam Wainwright, anybody else in town.
I didn't want to marry anybody else. I want my baby to look like you.
No, you didn't even have a honeymoon, and I promised you that you what?
My baby.
Mary... Mary, you mean you're on the nest?
Well, Mary had her baby, Terrence, a boy.
You don't say.
Then she had another one, a girl.
Well, what do you know?
Night after night, George had come home late from the office. Things weren't good with the building and loan. Potter was really bearing down on him. Then came the war. Mary had another baby by then.
Oh.
But she still had time to help out in USO. Uncle Billy sold war bonds. And George's brother Harry became a real hero. Shot down 15 planes.
But George, what about George?
Well, George was 4F, his bad year. He was an air raid warden. On VE Day, he wept and prayed. On VJ Day, he wept and prayed again.
We're getting pretty close to today, aren't we, sir?
Yes, Clarence. You now know almost everything you have to know about George Bailey, except what happened that finds him down there at this moment, wanting to die.
Well, sir, well?
Well, today's the day before Christmas, Earth time. George is pretty excited.
Hey, Tilly! Eustace! Hey, look at the newspaper. Commander Harry Bailey, decorated by the president. That's my kid brother. The Congressional Medal of Honor.
Gosh, George, gosh.
What do you think about the 15 Jap planes? And the last one he got was just about to dive into a transport loaded with soldiers. You know what that means? He saved lives, hundreds of lives. Hey, gee, where's Uncle Billy?
Huh? Well, gone to the bank, George. He's depositing that $8,000.
Good. Go. Who's that in his office there?
It's that man again, the bank examiner.
Yeah. Well, good afternoon, Mr. Carter. Hey, Telly, get the books from Mr. Carter. Will you? You know, that's my brother's picture there, Mr. Carter. He shot down 15 planes, and one of them was just about...
Well, Mr. Henry F. Potter come to the bank to deposit some more loot, eh?
Sure, you old fool.
How do you like the news in the paper, Mr. Potter? Just can't keep those Bailey boys down now, can you?
Let me see that newspaper.
Here, sorry I can't chat, you old thief. Got to make a deposit. Here you are, Horace. Deposit slip, bank book, and a very Merry Christmas to you.
You too, Mr. Bailey. Say, you've forgotten something, haven't you?
Horace, I've forgotten things all my life. Get a wiggle on, boy.
But, Mr. Bailey, where's the money?
What's that?
You want to make a deposit?
Well, certainly I want.
Well, it's customary to bring the money with you.
It's gone. Where'd I put it? Where'd I put that money?
A terrible thing, Clarence, terrible. Uncle Billy couldn't find the money because the envelope with the $8,000 was folded up in that newspaper he gave to old man Potter.
I just don't know what happened to it, George. I just don't know. $8,000. Uncle Billy, the bank examiner's here, and it's not our money. It belongs to the depositor.
George, what are we going to do? We've traced every step I took. We can't stand here in the street.
Are you sure you didn't put that envelope in your coat pocket?
I think so. Maybe. Oh, I'm no good to you, George. I'm no good.
Now listen to me. Think, will you? Now try and think.
I can't take any more. I can't.
Where's that money, you silly old fool? You know what this means? It means bankruptcy and scandal and prison. One of us is going to jail. Well, it's not going to be me. Now get out of my way. I'm going home.
George, dear, what's wrong? You haven't said a word since you came home.
Oh, well, that banging on that piano. Does she have to just keep playing that same piece over and over and over and over again?
What is it, dear? Another hectic day.
Yeah. Yeah, another red letter day for the
Dad, baby. Dad, Murphy's got a brand new car. You should see it.
What's the matter with our car? Isn't it good enough for you?
I'm sorry, Dad. I only...
Run upstairs, Petey. See if Zuzu's all right.
Okay, Mom.
Now, what do you mean? What, see if Zuzu's all right? What do you mean?
Oh, she caught a little cold coming home from school. She didn't button up her coat.
Well, what is it? What do you mean, just a cold?
George, the doctor said it was nothing serious.
The doctor? Was the doctor here?
Well, I thought he'd better look at her.
This old drafty house. It's no wonder we don't all have pneumonia. Might as well be living in a refrigerator. Why did we have to live here in the first place and stay around this measly, crummy old town?
George, what's happened?
Everything's happened. You call this a happy family? Why do we have to have all these kids?
Daddy, how do you spell Frankenstein?
I don't know how you spell. You ask your mother.
Where are you going?
Upstairs to see Zuzu.
Hello? Oh, thank you, Mrs. Welch. I'm sure she'll be all right.
Who's that?
Zuzu's school teacher. What? Oh, yes, the doctor says she'll be fine tomorrow.
Here, give me that phone.
George, please.
Mrs. Welch? Well, this is Mr. Bailey. Say, what kind of a teacher are you anyway? What do you mean sending Zuzu home like that half naked? Do you realize you'll probably end up with pneumonia just because of your stupidity? You know, maybe my kids aren't the best dressed kids in town, but at least... Hello? Hello? Janie, will you stop playing that lousy piano? Cut it out. Stop it!
George, for heaven's sake, what's wrong with you?
I'm sorry. Janie, I'm sorry. Mary... I just got to get out of here.
So that's it, George. You're short $8,000 in your account, sir.
Now, please, Mr. Potter, I'll pay any sort of a bonus if you still want the building and loan.
You say it was lost. Have you notified the police?
No, sir, I haven't done that yet. Harry's home.
Oh, I come to me. What about your good friend, Sam Wainwright?
I can't get a hold of him. He's in Europe.
What kind of security would I have, George? What collateral?
Yes, sir. I have some life insurance here. $15,000 policy.
Mm-hmm. What's your equity in it?
$500.
And you want $8,000? You once called me a warped, frustrated old man. Well, what are you but a warped, frustrated young man crawling on your hands and knees for help? Why don't you go to the riffraff you love so well? Ask them for help.
I'll do anything, Mr. Potter, please. Please help me, miss. My wife and kids...
I'm calling the district attorney. $500. You know something, George? You're worth more dead than you are alive. Now get out of here. Get out.
And all the time, Potter had the $8,000 in his desk drawer. It's still there, Terrence.
But where's George, sir? Where?
Well, he went over to Martini's Cafe. He's had a couple of drinks, Clarence. He's just standing there, sort of in a daze.
Oh, God. God, dear Father in heaven, I'm not a praying man, but if you're up there and you can hear me, please show me the way. I'm at the end of my rope. Show me the way to God.
Mr. Bailey, you all right? Don't drink anymore, Mr. Bailey, please. You don't feel good.
Bailey? Did you say Bailey? Which Bailey?
This gentleman is Mr. Bailey, George Bailey.
George Bailey, huh? And the next time you talk to my wife like that, she'll get worse. It isn't enough she slaves teaching your stupid kids how to read and write. You got to ball
up. Get out of here, Mr. Welch. You hit my best friend. Get out.
All right, I'm...
Mr. Bailey, you okay?
Who's that?
Mr. Welch, but don't worry. He don't come in this place no more. I'll get something for your face. It's bleeding.
I'm all right.
But please, don't go away, Mr. Bailey. Please, don't go away.
Well, George left Martini's Cafe 5 minutes ago, Clarence. He's at the river now, on the bridge, looking at the water. Are you ready, Clarence?
All ready, sir.
Very well. Save George Bailey's life, and you get your wings.
My wings. Oh, thank you, Joseph. George! George Bailey! Get away from that bridge! You hear me? George! Go!
In just a moment, we'll bring you Act Three of It's a Wonderful Life, starring Jimmy Stewart, Donna Reed, and Victor Moore. The popular theory about beautiful blondes is that they're content to be merely decorative. Our lovely guest tonight, Miss Susan Blanchard, completely disproves that idea. Besides being a hard-working fox starlet, Susan, I understand you're a wonderful cook.
I really love housekeeping, Mr. Keeley. But most of all, I enjoy the training I get at the studio. It's work, but it's fun, too.
You're an Easterner, aren't you, Susan?
Yes, a native New Yorker.
I thought so.
It was the Broadway theater that inspired me to think of show business as a career.
Well, that's interesting.
I used to save my allowance and go to every play I could. One of my favorite actresses was Jane Wyatt.
Uh-huh.
Imagine, Mr. Keeley, what a thrill it was for me to meet her right here in Hollywood.
Jane Wyatt's latest picture, Boomerang, was made in the East, I understand.
Mm-hmm, yes. But she and Dana Andrews, who stars in Boomerang with her, were in Hollywood to see a studio showing of the picture.
Oh, I see.
Jane Wyatt is my ideal of a stage and screen star. So talented and so lovely to look at. Just as lovely in real life, too.
She is indeed.
It wasn't long before I discovered that she's as keen about Lux toilet soap for beauty care as I am. You know, I'm a Lux girl, too.
We're glad to hear you say that, Miss Blanchard, because that's a very beautiful Lux complexion I see before me. Just right for blue eyes and ash blonde hair.
Thank you, Mr. Kennedy. Any girl in pictures is delighted to find out about Lux toilet soap as a beauty care. Active lather facials are so quick and easy, and they really make a difference in your skin.
Thousands of busy, attractive women have discovered that, Miss Blanchard. Daily Lux Soap Complexion Care does make skin lovelier. Otherwise, it wouldn't be the choice of 9 out of 10 screen stars.
Lux toilet soap is all-around beauty care for me. I use it as a bath soap, too. It has such delightful perfume, leaves a lovely fragrance on the skin.
Thank you, Miss Susan Blanchard. I hope our audience will be seeing that lovely Lux complexion of yours in a screen close-up one of these days.